This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of August 4th, 2019. Happy British Columbia Day weekend. Welcome, I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this edition, the Is It Just Me commentary. Headlines from the Pacific Rim and Pacific Northwest. The big deal feature, Trudeau on the campaign trail, 11 weeks until Election Day and the Liberals are spending taxpayers' money to try to hang on to power. Will the Prime Minister tell us how much Air Justin is costing? Hear me challenge Trudeau to be transparent. And I will award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. Now, is it just me? Is it just me, or are the BC Liberals further demonstrating why they are unlikely to form government in BC for many years? Of course, as Rafe Mayer said, 6 weeks is a lifetime in politics, and you never know what could be around the corner for John Horgan and the NDP in this bizarre province of ours. But the BC Liberal opposition under Andrew Wilkinson is lacking credibility. Leader Wilkinson went on a podcast called This Is Van Cullor last week, and proceeded to make false allegations about Premier John Horgan, Speaker Joel Plekis, and Chief of Staff Alan Mullen. You can read all about it in TheBreaker.News. My requests to the BC Liberals for proof to back up Wilkinson's allegations fell upon deaf ears. Wilkinson is just like his predecessor, Christy Clark, economical with the truth. Then, a day later, I broke the story about Kelowna West MLA Ben Stewart leaving caucus over a campaign finance irregularity. Elections BC says that Stewart sent them a letter, and the regulator is now looking into it. MLAs don't leave caucus very often in BC. Former BC Liberal Darrell Plekis was the last one in September 2017, and that was because he became Speaker of the House. So, again, the BC Liberals were silent. This is a party that still has too many people left over from the Campbell and Clark years, too many people who prefer secrecy. Wilkinson was previously the BC Liberal minister in charge of government advertising, and he spent more than $20 million on pre-election ads to improve the image of the BC Liberals. That's $20 million down the drain, $20 million that could have gone to more cops, more paramedics, more teachers, to pay down the debt, to build more housing for the homeless. How can Wilkinson, who was the doctor who became a lawyer who defended big tobacco, how can he be trusted with your money? Message to the BC Liberals, being anti-NDP can only take you so far. You need the right leader with the right approach, and you don't have that right now. What do you think? Email Bob at TheBreaker.News. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. In the South China Morning Post, U.S. and Britain join other nations in criticizing China's jailing of cyber dissident Huang Qi. Huang Qi, who founded the 64 Tianwang website, reporting on corruption, human rights violations, and labor issues in China, was handed a jail term this week in a Sichuan court after being convicted for leaking and selling state secrets to foreign entities. The Chinese reporter and activist, who this week was sentenced to 12 years in prison, should be released immediately, the U.S. State Department says. Britain's Minister of State for Human Rights says the case raises strong concerns about media freedom, due process, and the rule of law in China. The sentence marks the third time the 56-year-old activist, who suffers from chronic kidney disease, has been imprisoned. In the ABC News, Nassim Kadim reports, Crown Casino is facing political inquiries, share price falls, and probes. Here's what it all means. An investigation by Nine's The Sydney Morning Herald, The Age, and 60 Minutes, which it said was based on tens of thousands of leaked internal Crown documents, alleged that the casino was not doing its due diligence to ensure there are no links between junket operators and organized crime. It alleged that junket operators lured gambling whales from mainland China, where gambling is banned. It also alleged that Crown Casino turned a blind eye to money laundering and that the company exploited weaknesses in Australia's visa system to fly in Chinese high rollers without appropriate vetting. Crown Casino has denied the allegations, taking out newspaper advertisements headed "Setting the Record Straight in the Face of a Deceitful Campaign Against Crown." In Philstar Global, Denny Rose Afinidad Bernardo reports, rock icon Bono pens letter for Manila as invitation to U2's first Philippine concert. The 22-time Grammy winner posted a handwritten message to Manila, announcing a new date on the band's upcoming Joshua Tree tour. Bono, Edge, Adam, and Larry coming to rock you hard and soft, loud and vivid, black and white, and color, December 11th, the letter read. The Joshua Tree tour is taking the band to Singapore and to Seoul for the first time, along with long-awaited return visits to New Zealand, Australia, and Japan. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines from around the Pacific Northwest. In the Bellingham Herald, Warren Sterling reports, in a moment, they were gone. Death cabs tribute to pipeline explosion victims. Three kids died in the Olympic pipeline explosion in Bellingham in 1999. 20 years later, the band Death Cab for Cutie is paying tribute to them with a new song. The song, titled Kids in 99, opens with the lyrics, thinking about those kids, thinking about those kids back in 99. Gas leaking in the creek, a firecracker, then a spark. In a moment, they were gone, 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 gone. The June 10, 1999 disaster claimed the lives of Bellingham residents Wade King and Stephen Sorvis, both 10, and Liam Wood, 18. Death Cab for Cutie formed in 1997, while lead singer Ben Gibbard and the other band members were attending Western Washington University in Bellingham. Molly Harbarger reports in the Oregonian, Multnomah County sees 20% more people sleeping outside in latest homeless count. More people are sleeping outside in Multnomah County on any given night in 2019 than the last decade, according to the latest homelessness count released Thursday. About 20% more people were found living somewhere unfit for human habitation, in places including tents, in cars, and under bridges. When the count was done on a single night this past winter compared to 2017, the last time the federally required count occurred. The 2,037 people who were found sleeping outside is the highest the count has found and represents some of the area's most entrenched issues. They are disproportionately people of color, mentally ill, or have a substance abuse problem. And last week in the Breaker.News, these headlines. Ben Stewart out of BC Liberal Caucus. BC Liberal leader Wilkinson plays fast and loose with the truth on Party Donors podcast. And, exclusive, legislature police overtime costs grew under suspended lens. Go to thebreaker.news and read the stories behind the headlines.
Hi. Justin P.J. Trudeau.
No!
Sunny ways, my friends. Sunny ways.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau came to Vancouver on July 29th. Hold on, you're probably saying Justin Trudeau in Vancouver is like a dog bites man headline. The Liberal leader likes to call it his second home. Well, he did spend various parts of his youth on the West Coast as a snowboarding teacher and a school teacher. Trudeau's first and second homes are really in Montreal and in Ottawa. He was elected an MP for a Montreal riding, and Ottawa is the capital where he spends most of his time. From late May to the end of July, Trudeau has traveled 5 times to the West Coast and appeared at 4 Cash for Access party fundraisers and various Liberal rallies. Not to mention the government photo ops, where Trudeau has re-announced programs and taken shots at challenger Andrew Scheer and the Conservatives. BC Day weekend is his 6th trip to the West Coast since the end of May, and it's for the Vancouver Pride Parade and another Cash for Access fundraiser. This time, it's in Surrey. Integrity BC's Dermot Travis told me that this is the kind of frantic travel that one would expect in the final weeks of an election campaign, not before the writ is dropped. Trudeau travels on a $14,000 an hour Challenger jet across Canada, and the 5 trips to BC were part of 38,000 kilometers in the air. When Trudeau came to the Kitsilano Coast Guard Station in Vancouver for a photo op on July 29th, I asked him about the cost of his travel, costs to taxpayers, and costs to the planet in carbon emissions. Here is Trudeau's full question and answer session with reporters.
So great to be back home in Vancouver. I'm happy now to take your questions. Ian.
Minister, a question from my colleagues in Ottawa about an unusual situation.
Hang on, let's just make sure the mic is running.
So why did the ADM at Global Affairs, Mr. Paul Topple, repeatedly invoke your office when he called David Mulroney and asked him to register concern about advising Canadians not to travel to China? Of course, Mr. Mulroney being a private citizen at this point. Why is the government upset when the former ambassador tells Canadians not to travel to Canada? And again, And again, this gentleman being obviously not in the employ of the government at this time.
We are a government, as many people know, that have engaged extensively with stakeholders. We believe that an approach that involves expert third parties in a broad range of issues is the approach that's going to help Canadians best. But I can confirm the PMO did not direct that to happen.
Prime Minister, China and the United States are going to restart the trade negotiations tomorrow in Shanghai. The question is, you have pressured the United States or demand the United States pressure China to release the two Canadians, but there are voices saying that instead Canada should pressure United States to withdraw the allegation against Huawei and Ms. Meng Wanzhou. That's a better situation to resolve the current cold relationship between the two countries. What do you have to say on that?
We are a government that has consistently stood up for Canadians in difficulty overseas. We have resolved many consular cases, and we will continue to advocate for Canadians who find themselves in difficulty. And that includes the two Canadians who have been arbitrarily detained in China. And that is why not only we as a government have spoken up strongly on that, but our allies, from the United States to our European allies to countries around the world who are similarly concerned about the application of the rule of law. Canada is a country of the rule of law. We are a country that respects an independent judiciary. We will continue to hope for a positive resolution on this, but we will continue to stand strongly and firmly in defense of the two Canadians who've been arbitrarily detained.
Bonjour, Monsieur le Premier ministre. En français, au Québec, la Direction générale des élections ne recommande pas de repousser les élections fédérales qui vont tomber pendant une fête juive. Est-ce que vous allez suivre ces recommandations et dans tous les cas, pourquoi?
Je pense que c'est important d'avoir un commissaire aux élections indépendant qui prend les décisions de façon séparée des enjeux politiques. Je reconnais qu'il y a eu une question qui s'est posée par rapport à la date des élections et on va continuer d'écouter les avis du directeur des élections par rapport à quand ces élections devraient être tenues.
Hi, Prime Minister, Bob Mackin, TheBreaker.News. This is your 5th trip to British Columbia since May 22nd. You've got a Cash for Access fundraiser tonight. You had 2 on May 22nd. You had 1 last week in Victoria. You've been flying out at great frequency. I know there's an election approaching, but by calculations of experts, it's more than 10,000 liters of fuel, jet fuel, to go back and forth between Vancouver and Ottawa, and about 20 tons of CO2. And you're also spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, which would be difficult for Canadians to find out, especially with access to information and that system that you actually haven't improved, as you promised you would in 2015. Why isn't the Liberal Party of Canada paying the entire bill of your trips out to British Columbia at this time?
First of all, we were pleased to transform our electoral fundraising system at the federal level to demonstrate a greater degree of transparency and openness than ever in the past. And we've continued to encourage the Conservative Party and the NDP to follow the new rules put down, including proactively inviting the media to come attend our public fundraisers that are held in public locations. These are things that we've made so that Canadians can continue to have confidence in the electoral financing. Secondly, as you know, as Canadians know, BC is a second home to me. This is a part of the country that matters deeply. And too often, decisions made in Ottawa have negative impacts here in BC when people aren't connected here on the ground. Perfect example of this was the Harper government's decision to shut down the Kitts Coast Guard base, which was something that left all Vancouverites of all different political stripes scratching their heads, wondering how people could so not know how important this base is to Vancouver, to people across the Lower Mainland. So these are the kinds of things that means we have to have a federal government that is here and present and going to continue to engage with British Columbians. I will make no apologies for the fact that we have a big country that is important to get out there and spend time listening to people and working with them. This is an important part of the job of Prime Minister, and I'm very happy to be here as Prime Minister in British Columbia, which is a second home to me.
Prime Minister, Stephen Harper is not the Prime Minister right now. Andrew Scheer is not the Prime Minister. You're the Prime Minister. I asked you a question about the cost of this trip and why the Liberal Party isn't paying. Can you at least say how much the cost is to taxpayers for this current trip, which includes a fundraiser, which also included your time off in Tofino? How much are taxpayers paying for these?
The Prime Minister has a responsibility to be Prime Minister for all Canadians, and that is part of why I spend an awful lot of time getting out there and meeting with Canadians, listening to them, being at important events like this. It is, in fact, one of the best parts of my job to get out and meet with Canadians right across the country, whether it's town halls where we have an opportunity to take questions from the general public and actually respond to those questions in a way that no other party leader does, whether it's coming out for important announcements that demonstrate that the cuts that Conservatives consistently put forward end up harming our environment and harming Canadians. These are the kinds of things that make a big difference in people's lives, and that's why I'm so glad to be back here in BC.
Questions about your spending, sir. Please answer about your spending, sir.
Hi, Prime Minister.
You want the Canadians.
Canadian press. This is from my colleagues in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. The U.S. House of Representatives has recessed for the summer, and Canadians are headed into a federal election with no ratification of a new NAFTA. Is there anything you could have done differently to persuade Nancy Pelosi of the merits of the deal when you met with her last month?
We recognize that there is a difficult partisan context in Washington right now between the Democrats and the Republicans. We have said from the very beginning that we would keep pace with the American process on ratification of the new NAFTA accords. We, of course, benefit right now from the existing NAFTA that ensures Canadians are well served with good and reliable access to the North American market. But we also look forward to ratification of the new NAFTA. But we will do that in line with the American process when it picks up again this fall.
Thank you.
Merci beaucoup, tout le monde.
That was Prime Minister Justin Trudeau taking questions from reporters at Kitsilano Coast Guard Station in Vancouver on July 29th. Keep following the Breaker.news for more coverage of the 2019 federal election.
I, Justin P.J. Trudeau.
No!
Sunny ways, my friends. Sunny ways.
The virtual Nanaimo Bar brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting. Every week we end the Breaker.news podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to a deserving person or organization that has made a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to Tony Fatchin and Susan Flint, two of the three Coquitlam residents who stood up to the conservation officers who came to their neighborhood to hunt a family of three black bears. Police were also called, and they arrested Fatchin, Flint, and another person for resisting. And the bears were killed. But it has sparked a conversation about the fate of wildlife in the suburbs of Vancouver. Conservation officers have killed 51 black bears so far in 2019 in the Metro Vancouver region, compared to 81 for all of 2018. Are the conservation officers shooting first and asking questions later? Are they killing too many bears instead of tranquilizing and relocating? Why isn't the NDP government doing more to educate British Columbians who should coexist with wildlife? All important questions. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting. Custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of August 4th, 2019. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that August 4th was the birthday in 1921 for hockey legend Maurice the Rocket Richard? It was the birthday in 1901 for jazz great Louis Armstrong. And it was the birthday in 1792 for poet Percy Shelley, who famously said, "Poetry is a mirror which makes beautiful that which is distorted." Now you know. Send me your feedback, send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week, happy BC Day weekend.